Father, as we dive into your words, we ask that you would fill us with your spirit, Lord God, that we may experience you in spirit and in truth, Lord God. Lord, that personally, I read through this and it seems like it's going to be short, but it's going to be rich because you are in it, Lord God. And I thank you for that. And I pray your blessings on this study in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Colossians. We're probably just in the study, just get up to six. The rest of it, 7 through 18, is kind of like Paul's housekeeping. There's some interesting facts in his housekeeping. He is, well, I'll just go into the facts now because I got them in my mind. There were three Gentiles and three Jewish believers with Paul at this time. It's interesting, but the only ones of really note is Mark, Barnabas's cousins. He was the one that bailed out on him, Paul and Barnabas early in his first missionary journey. Epaphras is who's one of you. A bond servant of Christ. He is the one really that brought the gospel to Colossians. And also, kind of pay get and take note of when Paul speaks of himself and when Paul speaks of his fellow workers. He speaks of them, excuse me, as fellow bond servants. In other words, slaves. One of the things that really stuck out to me is this letter to Colossae, excuse me, was sent to the city or the church there, and with other letters that Paul has written, it was supposed to be read out loud in the church. And not only that, it was to be read in fellow neighboring cities. Like Colossae was supposed to be read in Laodicea. And the letter to Laodicea was supposed to be read in Colossae. One of the interesting things, and in verse 16, now when the epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of Laodiceans, that you may likewise read the epistles from Laodicea. What's notable about this is we don't have a copy of the letter written to the Laodiceans. It got lost. It disappeared. And what's really notable is in the next book or a couple of books in Philemon, that was a private letter to Paul and one of his disciples, basically saying, accept your runaway slave back and without reprisal. For me, I can see that letter being lost because it was just one copy of it. I'm imagining, and I imagine, I could be wrong, but when Paul sent letters out to churches, like this letter, to Colossae, some scribe or somebody made a copy of that letter before they sent it on to Laodicea. And I would think the Laodiceans would make copy of their letter before it got sent on to Colossae. But the letter to Philemon was a personal letter. And for one thing, it wasn't going to be read aloud in church because it was a personal letter. It was going to be only kept by Philemon. So that letter survived, but the Laodicean letter did not. Interesting, fun fact, but really, with these epistles, Ephesians, Colossae, and I can't remember, but they were all similar in subject, similar in tone. So, some people even think that the letter to Laodicea was Ephesians. I don't think so. But those churches were going through the same things. And I just gave myself a perfect lead-in to the study. Colossians were up against and battling, if you will, against misinformation about who Jesus was, who the Christians were, and they were fighting against misinformation, against lies, against people putting Christians in a different light than the truth of being a Christian was. And I'm reading this and I'm thinking, wow, we're doing the same thing today. There are elements in our society, elements. I'll even say, I'm not going to say that they aren't Christians, but there are elements that, have the wrong idea, have misinformation, have lies about who we are. And we are suffering under that same thing in the church now. We do have to, I'm starting to sound like pastor now. We have to have a biblical account, a biblical narrative of who Christ is and what he is expecting from his church. And very often, especially these days, we have people saying that they represent Christ, but not in action. They may be saying that, but their actions prove differently. So, with the what was going on in Colossae, Ephesians, Corinth, and those places, that kind of has reared its ugly head in America. And as American Christians, We have to. We have to hold on to God's word and not have anybody usurp God's word and tell us who Christ is when he's not that. Tell us how we should live our lives when Christ wants us to live our life differently. If anything, any kind of takeaway I've gained from teaching this class, it is that we have voices in our society, just like Paul had voices in his society and his churches telling the believers something different, something other than Christ. And we have that right now. We have voices that say Christianity is this thing, but it's not. It's amazing to me when I hear things like that. I just want to ask, do they have a Bible? Do they read their Bible? Or is it just a popular popular talk, if you will? So we have to stay in the Word of God because the Word of God is our compass. The Word of God is our rudder that we steer this ship, that we steer the church in the words of God. I'm not saying that the people who are saying, that Christ is this and Christ is that when he's not, are evil people. I believe that they are misguided. I believe that they're deceived. And it's up to us to present an accurate, understandable presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, even more so than in the past. So, let's go to verse 1. Again, we're only going to go to verse 6. Masters, give your bondservant what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it and with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open the door to us for his word, or for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, that I may make manifest how I ought to speak, walk in wisdom towards those who are on the outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to speak and answer one another. Again, you can kind of see how in earlier time that slavery was justified. But Paul, in the first verse, saying that give your bond servants, give the people you have working for you what is just and fair, and realizing that you also have a master in heaven. And be gracious just as Christ is gracious to you. Show that grace to your bondservants. Paul was not pro-slavery. Paul was pro-gospel. He knew that the gospel of Jesus Christ didn't come really to overturn societal norms. The gospel of Christ came to Christianize the social norms. That's why he can say, be merciful to your bondservants. That's why he can say, husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. Children, obey your parents. He wasn't setting down hard and fast rules. He was encouraging people in all walks of life, in all stations of life, to honor Christ first and foremost. He wanted the testimony of Jesus to be displayed in all walks of life. There was a quandary, if you will. What if a man or woman had slaves? And what if those slaves, and that man or woman was a Christian? What happens when those slaves become Christians also? How is the master to treat them? How are the slaves to treat their master? It is the importance, the priority of living for Christ rather than changing your circumstances. Your circumstances will change when both parties are believers. But because you are a believer at this point in time doesn't free you from your responsibilities. It doesn't free husbands from his responsibilities, fathers from their responsibilities, wives from their responsibilities, children from their responsibilities, slaveholders and slaves from their responsibilities. Again, it doesn't change the rules of society at that point. It Christianized them. So there is room for those responsibilities, for those roles, if you will, to honor Christ while still living in that responsibility. As far as honoring Christ, a master has to realize that he is under, he is a bondservant also under Christ. That everybody else, husband, wives, kids, have to realize that they are under certain obligations as Christians. It didn't change it at that point. Paul is not saying change it right now, but the most important thing is to honor Christ. Honor the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are outside of the kingdom. And really, when he says in verse 5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside redeeming the time. It is as Peter said, and I'm not gonna quote it from memory. First Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile you, your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer than for doing what is evil. Again, we are all called to be ready to give a defense for the gospel in our lives. And again, that's Paul's central theme. Always ready to give a defense to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and no matter what situation he finds himself. I think he learned a lot from what happened to Stephen, because he was there in the stoning of Stephen, and he watched Stephen being stoned to death, but still holding fast to the gospel of Jesus Christ and forgiving his accusers. That is incredible stuff. That is a demonstration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only being willing to suffer for Christ, not only be willing to die for Christ, but also in that to say, Lord, do not hold this charge against them. Just like Jesus. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. That is the Spirit of God working in Stephen and working in Christ. To have that testimony in the middle of a horrendous, basically murder of both Jesus and Stephen. That a man can stand up and say, forgive them. They know not what they do. Do not hold this charge against them. That is powerful stuff. That goes a lot further than eloquence of words or eloquence of thought. That goes deep into the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not the situation that we find ourselves in that dictates us. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ in every situation that we find ourselves. Whether, again, remember Paul said, I know what it is to be exalted and abased. And he gave Christ honor in every situation he was at. Stephen gave Jesus honor in every situation. And here's something for you. Jesus says, don't be afraid when they accuse you. Don't worry about what you'll speak, for the Holy Spirit will give you what to speak during that time. And really, the Holy Spirit did give Stephen, excuse me, what to speak in that time because the teachers, the Pharisees, and everybody who was around couldn't dispute what Stephen said. But it still led to the death of Stephen. It is, we have to change our attitude. It is, sometimes we will die for our testimony. Sometimes we will be kicked out of certain aspects of our society for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That is, whether we get kicked out or whether you get murdered is not the case. It is, what is important is the testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ in every situation. When masters who are believers all of a sudden have a servant who is a believer, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ manifesting himself. It was said that during the week, a slave was a slave, a servant was a servant, and he was to do that joyfully and not just pleasing men when he was seen, but pleasing his master in everything. But, and I'll just say that I'm not going to say what date they our day they gathered together, but when they gathered together, a slave or a bondservant may have a higher standing in the church to be able to speak the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their roles, when they met, were not reversed, but they were on an equal playing field. So, Paul is saying just because somebody's a servant doesn't mean that that servant can't preach the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with eloquence and power in the Holy Spirit. We have to realize that. We have to come to the understanding that just because somebody is something less in the world's eye, but in the eyes of Christ, he is a dear servant, a dear bondservant who is able to convey the word of God in church, and even when not in church. I'm sure Philemon's slave would have the word of God during the week. I looked up how to pronounce his name, but I'm forgetting it right now. Anyways, it is that. It is not just a continue on of society. It is, masters, treat your servants differently. Not necessarily masters, free your servants, but that again, you would treat them differently. And you have to remember that you have a Father in heaven who you have to have to answer to. It's bothering me that I can't. I'm not going to waste any more time. And I lost my train of thought here. Anyways, with what's going on now, is basically the same thing that was going on in the first century church throughout Asia Minor, is that there were people claiming to be Christians, claiming to speak the word of God, but they were distorting it. Oh, come on, John. Here. This is from F.F. Bruce. Men and women of persistent prayer are those who are continually on the alert, alive to the will of God and the need of the world, and ready to give an account of themselves and their stewardship. That's why Paul says, continue earnestly in prayer and be vigilant with thanksgiving. And when, meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open the door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, and that I may make manifest as I ought to speak. Christians who are fervently seeking the will of God and not falling prey to popular culture feeding us the word of God, but God's word, the gospel of Jesus Christ according to the Bible. And the Bible interprets the Bible. Nobody else can interpret the Bible the way Scripture can. And again, that just because somebody's circumstances, you would think that they are not following God. Paul was in prison. Paul was in prison, and he always asked for people to pray that a door may be open to him to preach the gospel. And a door was open to him in the center of the empire at that time, Rome. And he did preach the gospel. And in at the end of Acts, we see him under house arrest. in Acts 28. Let's start at verse 23. We desire to hear from you what you think for concerning this sect. We know that it is spoken against everywhere. So when they had appointed him a day, they came to him at his lodgings, to whom he explained and solemnly testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. Some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, some disbelieved. So when they could not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our father, saying, "Go to this people, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the hearts of these people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." So it didn't matter that Paul was under arrest. What mattered is that he was able to preach the gospel at the heart of the empire. Some were persuaded, some repented, some did not. Some disbelieved, they hardened their heart. So, Paul was of the mindset, the situation does not matter. It is the preaching of the kingdom of Jesus Christ that matters. Whether I am in chains or I am under arrest in this house, it doesn't matter, but I am able to speak the gospel in this situation. That puts a new light for me, that a great and effective door has been opened to me. Yeah, Paul, the great and effective door has been opened to you, but you're going to be under house arrest and you're going to be in jail. Paul was so sold out to Jesus. It didn't matter where he was, what the conditions were. He always found an opportunity to preach the gospel. Let's go back. Again, Paul's word has relevancy to our situation now. Continue earnestly in prayer and be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Pray, 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 pray. Because in prayer, we hear the voice of God. We hear Jesus. And that God will open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Again, it doesn't matter your condition. What matters is an opportunity to speak of Jesus Christ, to speak of his redemption, of what he has accomplished on the cross. and that he will make it clear how we ought to speak. And we are to walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Letting your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. If we are going to be called to give an account from those who are outside, we have to know the Word of God. Not only in our mind and in our heart, but in our spirit. That we should let the Spirit of God excuse me. Rule our lives. That when we are called to give an account, or even if when somebody else is making false statements, acting not as a Christian or as Christ wants, to be able to speak up. And in this time, we may be persecuted because of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if that happens, we are in good company. We are in good company because it happened to Paul, it happened to Peter, happened to Stephen, and above all, it happened to Jesus. So that is the mindset, excuse me, that I have in this day of time, day and time. And through without you know going into politics, I see it. I see it coming, and I want to be ready. And one reason way I'm going to be ready is to stay in the gospel, to stay in prayer. And earnestly pray and seek the truth of the gospel in Jesus Christ. Amen. And with that, I'm done. Lord, we come before you with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving because you are the truth and you manifest truth. You manifest truth in your people. Lord, as Pastor says, let us not be deceived. And I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your word and for your spirit, Lord God. And I ask you to fill us. Pour your spirit, pour your truth, pour your mercy in us, Lord God, that we may be those people who are equipped to be ready with the explanation when the world asks. For what the hope that is in us. And I realize even saying that, I believe there's a time coming, I think probably sooner rather than later, that people are going to see the hope that is in us. And we have to give an account, and we have to give an explanation of that hope that is within us. Do it by your Spirit in Jesus Christ. Amen.